Russia launches missile strikes against Kyiv for a third time in 5 days.
That air raid alert was on, and then in about 40 seconds, we've heard the explosions. And basically, we just had time to take our child to the corridor, and that's it. So it was not even time to hide.
Plus, could the terror attack in Russia further endanger the lives of jailed opposition leaders?
I believe that this terrorist attack will just further deteriorate this situation, with labeling even more people as terrorists and those undermining the security of the state.
And later in the program, Russia has relaunched its spy operations against the West. So what's the end game? Today is Monday, March 25th. From the Voice of America, this is Flashpoint Ukraine. Good evening, I'm Lori London. Russia launched missile strikes against Kyiv Monday for a third time in 5 days in what appears to be an apparent escalation of aerial bombardment targeting Ukrainian cities as the war stretches into its third year. Anna Chernikova joins us from Kyiv for an update on what was reported to be a jarring daytime strike that came with barely any warning.
It was very unexpected attack because Russian forces used two new ballistic missiles that they haven't used before. According to Ukrainian officials, just once they tried to use this particular missile, which is called Zircon, but it was not a successful attempt. And today, two of those missiles were used targeting the central part of the capital, Kyiv. Why this attack was unexpected and, a bit weird, because from the beginning of air raid alarm until the actual hit by the air defense, it was just around 40 seconds. So I personally and my family, we were at home. It was at 10:29 a.m. that air raid alert was on. And then in about 40 seconds, we've heard the explosions. And basically, we just had time to take our child to the corridor, and that's it. So it was not even time to hide. Everyone, all Kyiv citizens, you can see footage from different parts of the city that a lot of children who were at that moment at school or at the kindergarten, they were trying to hide and they were running to the shelters while explosions are already heard. So this is why it was a bit unexpected. At this point, the mayor of Kyiv, Vitaly Klitschko, confirmed that 10 people were injured, no casualties were reported, and two missiles were destroyed by Ukrainian air defense, and debris fall affected the central part of the city. One building, which is educational institution, was destroyed. At this point, the debris work is still ongoing. According to Kyiv officials, no people are expected to be found under the rubble, but still the works are ongoing.
And that horrible attack on Friday, when Russian drones and missiles were targeting critical infrastructure, I know the energy systems across Ukraine really took a hit. Where do things stand as far as that goes? Has most of that been fixed and recovered, or is this still an ongoing issue?
As a result of this latest attack targeting energy infrastructure, which was one of the biggest since the beginning of full-scale invasion, and as was confirmed by the Ukrainian officials again, at this point, there are still problems with electricity, especially in the city of Kharkiv, because the city of Kharkiv was damaged the most, the energy infrastructure particularly. And today, the mayor of Kharkiv announced that heating season will stop on Tuesday, even though it was not planned. So heating season is still ongoing in Ukraine, but the city of Kharkiv has just no capacity to continue. It's getting warmer in Ukraine, but still it's not that warm to stop heating. So Kharkiv citizens will have to really survive until warm period is coming. And also in general, there is a problem with electricity across the country, because a very big part, especially in the eastern Ukraine, was affected, and other regions are now sharing electricity with the eastern regions. So, for instance, in Kyiv, there are also some shortages of electricity, but at this point, these shortages are happening during the night, so not particular effect on the citizens of Kyiv as much as in the eastern part part of the country.
Ukraine had some defensive operations itself, targeting large Russian amphibious ships in Crimea. What do you know about that? Can you tell us?
Over the weekend, Ukrainian authorities, Ukrainian military confirmed that Ukrainian forces hit two larger amphibious ships in the area of Sevastopol in Crimea. And at this point, also we have confirmation from the Ukrainian intelligence that also in Sevastopol, the communication center and several infrastructure facilities of the Black Sea Fleet of the Russian Federation was also hit. And Ukrainian officials and Ukrainian intelligence in particular confirmed that the Ukrainian forces are responsible for this attack and that this is a part of the planned special operation by the Ukrainian forces.
And are these ships destroyed?
Ukrainian intelligence confirmed that one of the ships is very seriously damaged and it looks like it's not going to be back to operation. In terms of the second one, it's still to be confirmed.
Anna Chernikova reporting for VOA from Kyiv. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Laurie.
Poland is demanding explanation from Russia after a missile enters its airspace during an attack on Ukraine. We hear more now from Associated Press correspondent Karen Chamas.
During a news conference in Krakow, Poland's defense minister, Władysław Kosiniak-Kamysz, said a Russian cruise missile meant for towns in western Ukraine violated Polish airspace. He added that the Russian missile would have been shot down had there been any indication that it was heading towards a target in Poland. He said the missile penetrated Polish airspace between about 0.6 to 1.2 miles. The incident happened during Russia's third big missile attack on Ukraine over 4 days, and the second to target the capital, Kyiv. The governor of Ukraine's Lviv region said that critical infrastructure was hit, but he didn't specify what was precisely struck. No deaths or injuries were reported. I'm Karen Chamas.
Russia observed a day of mourning Sunday following a deadly attack on a music venue in a Moscow suburb that killed at least 137 people and wounded more than 180 others. The Islamic State group took credit for the massacre. As VOA's Arash Arabasadi reports, four men stormed into the Crocus City Hall Friday night during a concert and began spraying people with bullets before setting fire to the 6,200-seat venue. It was the deadliest attack inside Russia in 2 decades.
Russian President Vladimir Putin lights a candle Sunday in memory of the victims of a mass killing at a music venue outside Moscow. Mourners lay flowers at a makeshift memorial at Crocus City Hall, the site of the deadliest attack in Russia in 20 years. Flags flew at half-staff at the Kremlin as Putin declared a day of mourning. It all started Friday at Crocus City Hall, a suburban Moscow music venue where gunmen stormed the building with automatic weapons and, according to Russian investigators, then used a flammable liquid to set the facility ablaze. Authorities say they've detained 11 people suspected in the attack, bringing them to the Russian Investigative Committee headquarters in Moscow. Little was left of Crocus City Hall by the time rescue workers began digging through debris. U.S. officials have said the Islamic State terror group's Afghan affiliate, known as Islamic State Khorasan, was behind the attack. But inside the Kremlin, officials began accusing Ukraine of involvement. Putin addressed the nation and, without evidence, said the attackers were moving towards Ukraine and that a passage was prepared for them on the Ukrainian side to cross the border. It is a claim refuted by U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris, who spoke with ABC News as carried on X, the platform formerly known as Twitter.
No, there is no whatsoever any evidence. And in fact, what we know to be the case is that ISIS-K is actually, by all accounts, responsible for what happened.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said, quote, Putin and other scumbags are just trying to find someone else to blame, adding that Russian forces invading his country could have stopped such a deadly attack if not preoccupied by war. Russian investigators say they found weapons and other evidence linked to the attackers as they begin the process of piecing together the night's events. And while much of the recent news outside Russian embassies and consulates focused on the still mysterious death of opposition leader Alexei Navalny, at the embassy in Serbia, people laid flowers, lit candles, and signed a book of condolences. The United Arab Emirates illuminated iconic buildings with the Russian flag in solidarity with the night's growing list of victims. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News.
Russian pro-government media are ignoring the Islamic State group's claim of responsibility for Friday's attack at the concert hall, instead focusing on unsubstantiated allegations that the mass killing was linked to Ukraine. Vice President Kamala Harris strongly disputed those claims.
There is no whatsoever any evidence, and in fact, what we know to be the case is that ISIS-K is actually, by all accounts, responsible for what happened.
For more on the investigation, Elizabeth Chernoff reports for VOA.
As rescue crews continued the search for the missing Monday, pro-Kremlin media ignored reports that the Islamic State group was responsible for the attack. The director of the propaganda channel RT claims on social media that the Islamic State group's claim of responsibility is false. At the same time, an editorial on the state-run RIA Novosti says, quote, "The Kyiv Caliphate is launching a campaign of terror against Russia," unquote. Russian authorities have shown several men whom President Vladimir Putin himself alleges were caught trying to flee to Ukraine. Analysts have cast doubts on the allegation. They include Alex Kokhtarov, a country risk analyst at S&P Global Market Intelligence.
The border with Ukraine is fundamentally a front line. There are no crossing points from Bryansk region into Ukraine. The border has been thoroughly militarized. There is very heavy presence of the Russian armed forces and the FSB.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has dismissed Putin's claim of Ukrainian involvement. In blaming Kyiv for the attack, the Russian media deny that Islamist extremists have a military objective in Russia. Some observers disagree. Among them is Marta Ter, a specialist on radical Islam in Russia.
The Islamic State considers Russia one of its main enemies, along with the United States and Iran, due to the wars that ISIS considers holy. Russia was in Afghanistan. It is in Syria alongside Bashar al-Assad until today, and the wars against the Muslims in the Caucasus.
Others say the attack will help the Kremlin justify arguments for carrying out a new mobilization and buildup of its forces, which are under pressure after 2 years of full-scale war. With more than 130 dead, the attack on March 22nd goes down as one of the bloodiest in the Russian Federation's recent history. Some now worry the Kremlin will use it as an excuse for Moscow to step up its assault on Ukraine. For the VOA Moscow Bureau, Elizabeth Chernoff, VOA News.
So what are the biggest takeaways from the concert hall attack? For analysis, VOA's Steve Miller spoke with Craig Albert, political science professor and graduate director of the Masters of Arts in Intelligence and Security Studies at Augusta University in Georgia.
Craig, where I want to begin is, I guess, as you watch the events unfold with this attack on this concert hall in Moscow, what were your biggest takeaways since the U.S. Embassy had warned at the early onset of March that there were some warning signs that an attack like this was imminent?
The first thing that came to mind is, why didn't President Putin take the warnings from the United States and other NATO allies very seriously, or seriously at all? In fact, he, you know, right out dismissed the warnings and said it was U.S. attempts to try to influence the elections by saying that there were going to be attacks. So he just completely dismissed them out of hand. And that's one thing to do, to say that publicly. But as we see from the attacks, he didn't bolster the national police forces either. So, like, one would have expected him to, like, say something like that so he can, like, save face in Russia and not look like he's taking advice from the United States, but still increase his police presence and guards around concert halls, which were specifically, by the way, called out in the intel reports that the United States sent President Putin. So the U.S. had very direct intelligence about what was going to be targeted, maybe not specifically the building, but they knew it was going to be a concert hall as one of the possibilities. So it's just astonishing. For somebody who has such a stronghold over his people, that's the biggest takeaway, is that, wow, like, something's slipping with President Putin to ignore everything and let that occur.
The Islamic State group claimed responsibility, but the United States feels that Islamic State Khorasan is the group that is responsible for this attack. ISK, Islamic State Khorasan, has roots in the Middle East. So you know, what's their potential motive to carry out an attack like this in the heart of Russia?
This is a great question. It would be because ISIS-K would target Russia for what they have done in Syria, for past aggressions against what they have done, and the ISIS still sees the Russians doing and keeping Muslims down in the Middle East and different places in the Middle East, how the Russians have treated the Caucasus for the past few decades. In fact, in one note that I saw from ISIS-K, they specifically mention targeting Russia because of Russia's past atrocities in Chechnya specifically and in Syria recently. And that's why for me, I thought for sure this would be an ISIS attack from the Caucasus Emirates. And that's what I'm still wondering about, is if the Caucasus Emirates somehow teamed up with ISIS-K. Again, there's no evidence of this or anything. There's not much evidence that's been released on exactly what group it is. But to answer your question, that's what it would be, would the historical aggressions of Russia against Syria specifically and against Chechnya itself, that ISIS-K, which is trying to become the leader now of ISIS, trying to become ISIS home base now in the past couple of years since ISIS in Iraq has significantly dwindled. So that would be their main motivation, is trying to say that the caliphate is going to happen from Afghanistan now, and they're going to attack any Christian civilization that has waged war against Muslims recently.
Craig Albert is a political science professor, as well as the graduate director of the Master of Arts in Intelligence and Security Studies at Augusta University in Georgia. Craig, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.
You're listening to VOA's Flashpoint Ukraine. I'm Lori London. The wife of Russian dissident Vladimir Kara-Murza said on Monday the lives of the many political prisoners who have spoken out against Vladimir Putin and are jailed in Russia, including her husband, are in danger in the wake of Alexei Navalny's death in an Arctic penal colony last month.
Today, my husband Vladimir Kara-Murza is serving a 25-year prison sentence for so-called high treason for opposing the Putin regime and its war in Ukraine. The last time our kids spoke to their dad was last December. We had three kids, and that was a 15-minute phone call, which meant that they each got 5 minutes on the phone with their dad, and I had to measure those minutes with a timer.
Evgenia Kara-Murza said many activists behind bars for protesting the war in Ukraine are at risk, including Alexandra Skochelenko, jailed for replacing supermarket price tags with calls to stop the conflict, and Alexei Goronov, a Moscow district councillor who criticized Russia's invasion. And she believes they're in further danger following Friday's terrorist attack at the suburban Moscow concert hall.
So just like in the Soviet times, the Russian government wants to show that there is no dissent in society. The entire Russian population, you know, is solidly standing behind Vladimir Putin and its regime and its war in Ukraine. And all those who are being imprisoned today, those are just criminals and spies and traitors somehow conspiring against the Russian state and undermining its security. So this is, and I believe that this terrorist attack will just further deteriorate this situation with labeling even more people as terrorists and those undermining the security of the state.
Vladimir Kara-Murza was transferred to a new Siberian penal colony in January and placed in solitary confinement. It was the harshest sentence imposed on an opposition politician since the start of Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine in February 2022.
I have been scared for my husband's life since 2015, when just a couple of months after the murder of Boris Nemtsov on the Bolshoi-Moskvoretsky bridge, my husband collapsed for the first time with a multiple organ failure following a poisoning attack by a team of FSB operatives. Since then, he survived yet another attack in 2017, and now he's being held by basically the same people who tried to kill him twice in the past.
Evgenia Kara-Murza is urging immediate action to free them all. The U.S. Treasury Monday said it imposed sanctions on Russian financial services, technology firms, and individuals for developing or offering services in virtual assets aimed at evading U.S. sanctions on Russia over its invasion of Ukraine. The Office of Foreign Assets Control designated 13 entities and two individuals in this latest round of sanctions targeting Russia's core financial infrastructure to block its use of the international financial system to further its war aims in Ukraine. Analysts say Russia has relaunched its spy operations against the West since its 2022 invasion of Ukraine. We hear more from Henry Ridgewell in London.
Russian helicopter pilot Maxim Kuzminov defected to Ukraine in August 2023. He moved to Spain and started a new life under a false identity. Last month, Kuzminov's bullet-riddled body was found in a parking lot in southern Spain. Russia has not admitted to the killing, but the director of Moscow's Foreign Intelligence Service described Kuzminov as a moral corpse for defecting. Analysts say the killing is the latest example of how Russia's intelligence operations have been reinvigorated since Europe kicked out hundreds of suspected Kremlin spies in the wake of Russia's 2022 full-scale invasion of Ukraine. Marina Miron is from the Department of War Studies at King's College London.
The Europeans had a sense of security that the Russian spies are not there anymore, that their capabilities have been significantly curtailed. But the problem is, they have not been. They are mightier than ever.
Russian state media last month published an intercepted phone call between senior German Air Force officers discussing supplying long-range Taurus missiles to Ukraine. Kyiv has warned that a whole network of Russian spies is operating in Germany. French intelligence services are investigating a Russia-backed campaign aimed at interfering in the June European elections. France warned last month that Europe is under informational attack from Russia. Alexander Daniliuk is an associate fellow at Britain's Royal United Services Institute.
They still invest, you know, billions into intelligence operations in Europe, you know, developing that capabilities which are designed for interference into election, radicalization of different social, ethnical, religious groups, including minorities, investing billions into political proxies, you know, who can actually come to power.
Analysts say Moscow is increasingly operating remotely, using non-Russian proxies to carry out its operations, including organized criminals and foreign nationals from political and business circles. Trials of suspected spies working for Russia are ongoing in Britain, Germany, Norway, Poland, and several other countries. Again, analyst Alexander Daniliuk.
It's not any more ideological fight. It's not like communism fighting, you know, capitalism, like Soviets would say. No, it's not. But it's authoritarian countries, trying to subvert the West as a stronghold of democracy, freedom, and human rights. And this is, for them, existential fight.
Meanwhile, CIA Director William Burns wrote recently that disaffection with the war in Ukraine has in turn presented a once-in-a-generation opportunity for Western intelligence agencies to recruit Russian spies. Henry Ridgewell, VOA News, London.
And that'll do it for us today, but stay up to date with continuing coverage on Ukraine and news from around the world 24 hours a day at voanews.com. And on social media, just be sure to follow VOA News. On behalf of all of us here at VOA, thank you so much for listening. Until next time, I'm Lori London.